But in him, hallelujah, made somebody going somewhere. And that, how better off could you be than being a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And that's as good as it can get. And I praise God for the reality of it. I do again say welcome to everyone that's here. Appreciate you being in the house of God with us today. I'm going to try to pick up on a message I was doing two Sundays ago. Had to be away this past Sunday, and I missed getting this, and I'll try not to re-preach everything I preached, first two points, and y'all, some of you grinning at me now because you know how I am about that, but I'm going to try to condense that, and for the sake of everybody that's here, but then we're going to pick up and try to close out that message if we possibly can today. By the help of the Lord, we can do that. And we've been started that message, and I just got wrapped up in it and praise God for it. But turn your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. We'll just read that verse right now. You keep your Bibles open. We'll read the rest of it as we go in sharing with you this morning. Exodus chapter 31, verse number 18. Won't you stand, please, while I read the word of God. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communion with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you today for the singing of the songs. Thank you for sweet fellowship. Thank you, God, for your spirit present working in the hearts and our lives. And we praise you and thank you, God, for what you're doing. But now we need you to help us to preach. And Father, realizing the fact that if you don't help us, we cannot do anything. You said without me, you can do nothing. And so we realize the truth of that statement. Stand here as a needy creature and ask in Jesus' name for that divine anointing power be upon us. I pray you touch us to preach. May the Holy Spirit take the word of God, go out there in the hearts and lives of all that's here. And Lord, as has been prayed already today for those who have burdens on their hearts, situations that maybe others don't understand or don't know about. But I pray the Holy Spirit would do a work in every heart, every life, and help us today to preach like you want us to preach. Then I pray conviction draw the unsaved and bring them to Christ Jesus that they may be saved and born in the family of God. We're thankful, Lord, for the privilege to preach and ask in Jesus' name now that you help us forget about everything else, center in on the word of God, and share as you would have us to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We started a message on this subject, the handwriting of God. Now, three times in Scripture, it is mentioned that God wrote with his finger. And we're trying to pick that up and use that here in verse number 18 of Exodus chapter 31. Is the demands of God. It's when he gave the commandments and what God expects. By the way, God created us. He has every right to tell us what he expects out of us. Is that not true? If he created, then we are answerable unto him. And he gave us commandments in the Old Testament. And when I was preaching that message, I went over into the New Testament and either gave you a direct statement of that same commandment or a principle that works with the same way. And we found that in that, of course, Sabbath was Saturday, moved to Sunday now because of the fact of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, they did and did and did and did, and it's finished. But then in the New Testament, God finished it at Calvary. Now we work from that. We're glad that Jesus paid it all to him we owe. And so our works are because of Calvary and what Jesus did for us. God wrote with his own finger the commandments and gave them to Moses to bring down. And you know, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind. Then he talked about having no idols, talked about keeping the Sabbath, talked about honoring your father and mother, talked about not steal, not commit adultery, not covet, and all down the line we go with that. But we tried to share that with you. But I want you to know that the law was given that might be our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be saved by the grace of God. Galatians 3:24 says, the law was our schoolmaster. I'm glad for the law. And the law showed us what we are, how needful we are. They sang that song a while ago, how in the world can I stand and say such a thing that I'm in a royal family? How can I mention the fact of being a child of the King? How could I say that? And Brother Mark, by the grace of God, because of Calvary and what Jesus did for us, but the law showed me how wicked I was, how ungodly I was, what I really needed, and I couldn't fulfill, I couldn't do for myself. But I'm glad that Jesus did it for me. Amen. He kept all the law, did everything right. There's no guile found in his mouth. He had nothing wrong about him. Everything was absolutely right and correct about him. Now turn to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter number 5. Want to look at verse number three, I believe. Yeah, let's look at verse number 3. Daniel 5, here we're seeing the doom. We saw the demands of God, and God demands that we live pure and clean and holy, and we fail in that, but as our schoolmaster, here's a doom in chapter 5 of Daniel. Then they brought the golden. Now, here's Belshazzar. He's having a party, and they're having a great time, and they're getting the vessels out of the house of God they took from Jerusalem down to Babylon. Verse 3, then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine, praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass and of iron, of wood and of stone. In the same hour came four fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. And I pause there to say this, and I mentioned it last 2 weeks ago, if his hand started writing on the wall over here and all you saw was a hand that was writing, I believe we'd get shook up too. Amen. But I'm glad today that the Holy Ghost came to me and showed me how lost I was and showed me what my doom was, and that I was lost and doomed and going to hell without God, and Jesus was the only answer there was. But look in verse 25 of Daniel. And this is the writing that was written, Mene Tekel Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, the kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And we find that Belshazzar, verse 31. Well, look at verse number 30. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. And so you find there the fall, how it was that the doom came. God wrote his doom out, and God and his word has already told us. And let me just pause here to say, and I'm going to talk about the deliverance in just a minute, but aren't you glad that God put it all in order with his finger? Now, I know he wrote all the word of God. We know the word of God is inspired. The word of God used holy men of old to write as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But three times it says he wrote with his own finger. And the first time it was the demands, what he expected out of us and how we were to live and what we were to do. And man comes far short of those. And because we failed the first one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And we fail on that one. Then the others come in there. And we find ourselves being guilty of many of those along the way. And then he wrote the doom in Daniel and said that this is your doom because you've disobeyed God, wouldn't listen to God, had nothing to do with God. He even reminded Belshazzar that he knew what had happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He knew how God had driven him out from men and how he lived like an animal and how God had mercy on him and brought him back. Nebuchadnezzar honored the God of heaven in that. He recognized that fact. But let me say to you today that before we were saved, we were out there and we heard the commandments. We knew what we were supposed to do, shouldn't do. But we knew we were a failure when the Holy Ghost made it real to us. And then we told us what our doom is. Let me say this to you today. Hey, every person here, I realize, and I just heard recently on the news about somebody wrote a book, and they're making a big deal about it, that there's no hell. Well, they can write all the books they want to about there's no hell, but the book that I really have confidence in and the author I really have confidence in is this book. And this book says there is a hell. And I don't care how smart the man may be that wrote the book, nor how much education that he may have, nor where he comes from and credentials and all of that. He didn't know what he's talking about in the book, because there is a literal burning hell. God said so in Luke 16, the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes being in torments. I believe that. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, if your eye offend thee, better pluck it out than to go to hell. He said, if your arm offend thee, cut it off. Better than that, than go to hell. And then he talked about in Revelation 20:15, whosoever is not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, either God's truth or he didn't tell the truth about it. I believe that God is truth. I believe everything he said is true, except he might have recorded something in the Word of God that somebody else said that wasn't true, like Satan said, thou shalt not surely. He lied about that. God recorded it, but God never did lie. God cannot lie and never will lie. There is a literal burning hell. Our modern age don't like to hear about it, don't like to hear preaching about it, don't want anybody to mention it, but there is a literal burning hell. And preacher, surely a loving God, that's what the book said, a loving God would not send anybody to such a place as hell. I'm telling you, a loving God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If God loved us that much and gave himself to make a way for us not to go to hell, then I say I believe there is a hell. But thank God there's a heaven. Amen. Aren't you glad you're going to heaven? If you're saved, you're going. If you're not saved, you're not going. And today in this house, this number of people, I guarantee you, there's some people here that's not saved. There's some here that's on the road to hell. They don't know Jesus Christ personally as their Lord and Savior. And I'm not talking about making professions. I'm not talking about signing the card or joining the church or getting ducked under the water. I'm talking about a real born-again experience with God. I mean, when you really got born in the family of God, made a new creature in Christ Jesus, became a child of the King, got in the royal family, a part of the family of God. Aren't you glad that you're a part of the family of God? Some of you are. Check the rest of you out here after a while. Aren't you glad you're a part of the family of God? Amen. That's good. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. Now look in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Here's the deliverance that we find. And I'm just going to give you a couple things here. This morning, thinking about it, I got on my mind about the demands that God makes and what he says to us. And no man can be good enough to go to heaven. No man can live up to the commandments. No man has ever done it, ever will, except one. And that was Jesus Christ himself. And then they talked about the doom, and Belshazzar certainly was doomed, just like God said. And you can rest assured the doom will be just as sure as God's word says there's a hell. That'll be the place that you'll go if you don't get saved and born in the family of God. But I love his story in John chapter 8. You're familiar with it. It's familiar with us as we read it. And twice in this account, Jesus wrote on the ground with his finger, but it's on the same occasion that he did so. And so we said three times God wrote with his own finger. But listen to this, John 8, verse 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, early in the morning, and he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, I'd like to pause there and say this. I wonder where the man was. You're going to have somebody committing adultery, then the woman caught in the very act. There had to be a man involved too. But didn't say a thing about the man. I've often wondered if it was one of the friends of the scribes and Pharisees. Somebody they knew or somebody prominent, they didn't want to get involved in bringing him in, but they brought the woman in. And now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. Now they asked the question. They wasn't really concerned about what the law said per se concerning this woman. They just wanted to catch Jesus in something. But Jesus stooped down. Now they asked him, the law says stone her, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. He acted like he didn't even hear them and wrote on the ground. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now this is God. Jesus is God in flesh. He's writing with his own finger on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Have no man accused thee? She said, No man, Lord. Notice that, please. No man, Lord. She's recognizing who he is. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now let's talk about this just for a little bit. In the writing of the demands of God, the commandments of God, he wrote them down. We know what he said. We know what he wrote. And in the doom that he wrote with his own finger on the wall, Daniel interpreted that, and we know what he wrote. Thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. And that includes all of us. But now we come to the deliverance, and we don't know in Scripture right here what he wrote. Just said he stooped down and wrote. But I believe we can make some pretty good guesses about what he wrote. I believe we can pretty well go toward the direction that he was writing in. And I can't tell you for sure what he wrote on the ground, because the Bible does not say. But I can tell you for sure what the deliverance is by the word of God, because he penned it down for us in God's precious holy word. We don't have to worry about it. We know exactly how deliverance comes. And I say to you today, may God help us know about the deliverance. And I'm glad for deliverance. If I could sing tonight, I preached revival last other week, and I got a night on my mind. But if I could today sing, I'd sing, I'm not condemned anymore. Condemnation's past. Amen. And I am not condemned. But she was taken in the act of adultery. She knew what she was. She knew that she was guilty. She had no question but what she was guilty. And did you ever notice in this account that she never did speak up and say anything until Jesus spoke to her? She never did say, well, where's the man? She did not say, why did they bring me and didn't bring the man? Why you got me here for? And why'd they bring me in for? Did you know that she wasn't looking at anybody else? She wasn't thinking about anybody else except that Jesus was there, her accusers were there, and that she was there. I want you to know today, thank God, I'm glad when I was accused, Jesus was there. I'm glad when I'm accused today, Jesus is there. And here he stooped down when they first brought her in, And the first thing they said to him about was that the law says the stoner. And Moses and the law, what do you say? And he just didn't answer him anything. He stooped down, began to write with his own finger on the ground. What do you think he wrote, preacher? I believe he wrote, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I don't know for sure, but I guess I'd even make a better guess than that. They wrote Isaiah 64 and verse number 6. For we all are as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. I believe he wrote that. I don't know for sure what he wrote, but I believe he's writing something like that, because here was a woman that was guilty. Here's what the law said. And he's telling also what the law in the Old Testament said, that everybody had sinned and everybody come short of the glory of God. Let me say to you today, you may be an adulteress, you may be an adulterer, you may be a drunkard, you may be a drug addict, you may be whatever. You may have sin in your life in every different areas I may never mention, but I want you to know this. Ain't not a one of us any better than you are in ourselves, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'd say that we all are sinners. Amen. How in the world can I stand and say such a thing? I'm a member of the royal family. I'm glad for deliverance. Thank God deliverance has come. And deliverance is available to everyone that will come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Now we get, Jesus has wrote in the sand or what, ground, whatever he's writing. And then he stands back up, looks the crowd in the face, and says, the one that be without sin, you throw the first stone. You go ahead and make the judgment and throw the first stone at her. Then he stooped back down and began to write again. I don't know what he wrote that time either, but I got a pretty good guess. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I got a pretty good mind that he wrote something about the atonement. Maybe the night of the Passover. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I don't know what he wrote, but it may have been whosoever will, let him come. It may have been Galatians 3:24, where I believe that's right, where he said the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. I don't know what he wrote, but I do believe he wrote in the sand something that I said about salvation, about him dying for our sin and raising again from the dead, and he wrote it down. But let me say to you today, I know what he said in his word. I know what he said about salvation. He said, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, we all ought to go to hell. Not in that many words, but that's what he meant. He also said that God loved us all. He also said that God gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He also said, whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life for it. Brother Taylor, I'm glad one day God came by your way and deliverance was written for you. Amen. And Jesus had paid the price. I've often used this illustration. Let me use it again today. When I was a boy, I'd go out to an old country store and get something that Mom wanted me to get, and I'd say, charge it to Daddy. And Mr. Blevins getting down that book, he'd write it down. And then as I got older, I'd still go out there with Daddy, and I found out what he was doing. He's writing down what Dad owed him in that little book. And then on payday, when I went with Dad out there, he said, Mr. Blevins, what do I owe you? He'd get down that little book and tattle it up, and Dad would pay him. And I remembered then how it worked. I charged it, Daddy paid it, and it was already, then he'd take that, Mr. Blevins take that little book, and he'd tear out a page and mark paid in full and give it to Dad. Hallelujah. I'm glad my deliverance was written one day. Paid in full at Calvary. Jesus took my place, paid my price, wrote my deliverance, and handed it to me, said, paid in full. I want you to know today, thank God, I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to be lost. I don't have to be without Jesus. I have one pleads my case and said, I paid his price. I took his place. Now set him free. You saved? you really know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior today, if you had to die right now, do you know that you go to heaven? I mean, if right now came that time and your heart stopped and you left out of here, do you know you go to heaven? You know that? Brother Grubb, praise God. I'm glad we can know it. Saved, saved, saved by the grace of God. If you don't know that you're saved, you need to get saved today. Need to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. God wrote with his own finger the doom. He wrote with his own finger what he expected out of us, and we all failed that. Then he wrote the doom. Then he wrote, I believe, forgiven. Forgiven. He said to her, now I want you to get this point. He said to her, where's those that condemned you? He said, don't have any. He said, neither do I condemn thee. But that didn't stop her. He said, go and sin no more. He didn't stop and say to go ahead and live the same old life. He didn't say just go out back on the same old ways. He said, go and sin no more. Other words, he said, I'm changing your life. Going to be a different woman. Going to be a godly woman. I believe from that day forward, she lived godly. I believe from that day forward, she's a testimony. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you. I talked about the Sunday school class this morning. I was in, you know what they was teaching those people in there? They was teaching them how to track out when they saw somebody and invite them to church. They was teaching them about how to witness and how to, and they was answering some questions about it. What about you today? Who are you with the Lord? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege we have to be in the house of God. Lord, what a joy it is to come and hear from you. And Father, in thy word, we know that you wrote with your finger. You tell us about it. Lord, I'm thankful today that you tell us the truth, that you must be born again. I'm thankful, Lord, that Jesus Christ is our advocate. He's our sacrifice. He's our Lord. Father, I'm thankful today the blood was shed so that we could be saved. Then there are those here today that know not the Lord Jesus. There are those here today that their lives are confused. They're messed up. They need help. I pray in Jesus' name they'd come to an old-fashioned altar. Let you save them by your marvelous grace. Then I pray for those that are here. They've been saved, but their life's not where it needs to be with God. There's problems, difficulties. They need to come to God. Have the joy restored that they may leave out of the house of God saying it's good to be saved. But Father, this moment, this time, I pray whoever it is that you're speaking to, that you deal with their heart. Draw them by your power. Bring them to Christ that they might be saved. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Standing with your heads bowed, eyes closed for a moment. God's speaking, God's calling. You're here without God. You're here and don't know Jesus. Will you come to him today? You're here today and you say, preacher, I know I'm saved, but I know I'm not where I need to be with God. Why don't you come? Let God help you. Let God help you today. Father, I pray you'd help folk today just to do what they need to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. While we're saying, you come, somebody's praying, you come on, let God help you while we're saying. Come on. Only trust him. Only trust him.
Only trust him. Only trust him now.